Happy to be joined now from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon. And Doug, the Browns finished up OTAs this week. We go into the mini camp next week, which essentially, and you and I were talking about this the other day, about kind of the difference between what does OTA mean versus mini camp. And really, there is none. I mean, they're not, they can't hit each other. They're out there in the shirts and shorts and helmets. So it's the same thing. It just gets another name to it. Bottom line is they get out there and try to figure out what they have with this football team. And I guess my question to you is, as we go into next week, what do you see that this Browns team has?
Well, I think, you know, just watching with our, we only have our Thursdays with Brandon, and and I think when you go out there, you know, the thing you see is it's going to be an offense that's stressing the passing game, and it's going to be vertical. But the good thing is you're not seeing a lot of balls on the ground. I mean, you're not seeing a lot of drop balls. The other thing, I think the security blanket of Devon Bess is a big factor, and you keep seeing them check down to Bess, and you know he's got sure hands too. So it gives you not only a third receiver, but also some experience at that position.
Can you still have the long distance type of passing game, this vertical passing game that we know Rob Chudzinski and North Turner to be all about, when an ingredient like Bess is part of it and seems to be the biggest part of it now? Can you still develop that, even though, as you say, the safe check down option is very popular with quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think you can. I mean, you get back to the basics. It all starts with the offensive line. And if you can't pass block, you're not going to have any success. And I think this offensive line, for the most part, especially at the tackles and the center, are built to be pass blockers. And they're, you know, good on their feet, and they handle people in space. The guard position, I think you can get away with what you have. But, you know, with that said, I think, you know, there's an emphasis on getting the ball down the field. Their philosophy here is you got to throw the ball and you got to rush the passer. I mean, right. And it's pretty basic.
Right, and it does put so more pressure on those tackles, on the line in general, to hold their blocks. Do you think this unit is put together for that kind of work?
Yeah, I think, you don't want to call it a finesse offensive line, but I think what you would call is an offensive line that can pass block. And I've always said, you know, you never see a guy cut in the NFL because he can't run block. It's because he can't pass block. And these guys are pretty good pass blockers. I think the guards maybe, sometimes not as mobile as you would like. Right. But with that said, you know, they're pretty stout at the point of attack.
It's interesting at that guard position, John Greco is getting a lot of time. And we thought of him as more that journeyman guy who fills in, who was taking the place of Jason Pinkston last year under really duress because of Jason's situation with the blood clot in his lung. But to have Greco in there now on kind of a regular basis, it almost looks like there's a sense that, hey, he's a veteran, solid presence. We can trust him in there and maybe give him the maximum time to either ensure that he's a really good, solid backup, or maybe let him be the starter and let Jason Pinkston be the number two.
Well, and you always need that, you know, extra body. And, you know, the thing with Greco is he can go play center for you too. Mm. So he gives you that, you know, extra body that gives you some flexibility in your offensive line. But, I think, you know, right now they want to determine who the guards are, who's the starting guards are. But I think you can go into training camp and say, well, you know, if these are our three guys, we're going to be okay this year.
So we talked about it. You joked it's Thursdays with Brandon, Brandon Whedon, and watching him develop through this camp. It was rough early on some of the days, but I think for the most part he's been pretty consistent and smooth and seems to be getting it. This looks like, as we thought from the outset, I think going back to the voluntary minicamp, yet another name for these things, the voluntary minicamp, where he was talking about how excited he was that this offense was a good fit to him. Do you see the progression, and do you see the guy reaching more of that point where this looks like a good fit for him?
Well, I think you see the ball come out a little quicker. He's not holding it as long, and I think he emphasized that in the offseason. That was one of the problems he had last year. He was slow getting back. And I think it was obvious when Thad Lewis went in that last game. You know, he got back there, and boy, the ball was out in a hurry. And yeah. He was very effective for a guy that really hadn't had a lot of playing time. So I think, you know, Brandon obviously has studied what happened to him last year, realizes there were some shortcomings, but I think you also have to realize he's just part of the equation. The other part is the receivers, and how much did they know where they what they were supposed to do in reading, you know, the defense and making the adjustments accordingly.
And the first sort of salvo in terms of, hey, Brandon, you're going to have competition, came about with the arrival of Jason Campbell. And then the second one, of course, was the signing of Brian Hoyer, just to bring another face in there and bring him in after the draft. And I wonder if part of this stepping up, besides his ability to digest more of what he's getting, and he's being force-fed a lot, is the presence of a Hoyer in addition to the other, in addition to Jason Campbell, and seeing that this administration is going to keep bringing people in here to get this position right.
Well, competition is great, and what it does, it, you know, gets you less tee times and more times, you know, in the playbook.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you're not going to want to go out there and practice and, you know, find out that, you know, you're behind because you've been doing something else. And I think, you know, Brandon has, you know, put a big emphasis on trying to get into the playbook and learning it as quick as he can.
Yeah, and I think what I see from Hoyer is a guy who definitely is decisive, kind of gets the ball out quickly and does those things. But what I don't see is the arm. You could see a distinctive difference in the velocity of throws from Whedon, from Jason Campbell, and then when Hoyer tries to get it out there, it just doesn't look the same.
Well, that's the difference between being a free agent and the first round.
I
mean, there's a reason for, you know, those things. But with that said, you know, he does bring some things to the table. He brings the fact that, you know, he's been in the league, he's been around Tom Brady, you know, he's seen other offenses and how they go about, you know, attacking defenses. And, you know, it's sometimes it's not your playing skills, it's your mental skills that can, you know, be a big asset.
Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network, former Browns offensive lineman, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. When I watched practice last week, Doug, I was pretty well convinced, as is usually the case when you watch these offseason workouts and like the early part of training camp, the defense being ahead of the offense, the defense kind of controlling things out there and the offense struggling to hold its own. I saw a little more today, and I guess the trend this week has been the offense maybe closing that gap a little bit and able to make some plays, because now I think they're getting a little more used to what they're seeing from this Ray Horton defense and all this multiple front stuff and all the variations he brings out there.
Well, and I think, you know, obviously you don't find out who's ahead of who until you start putting pads on. That's when you really it kind of lights you up. And I think, you know, obviously every training camp you go to, you know, the defense is always going to be ahead of the offense. But, you know, with that said, you know, there's a lot of youth on the defensive side of the ball too. So when you've got a bunch of young players, you know, they're growing together. And I think, you know, the fact that they've gone to the 30 and under club, you know, it's one of those where you're going to see some growing pains. But, you know, once you start to get some peaks in the football team, I think you're going to see a different ball club than you saw last year.
It's been nice to see Leon McFadden now for 2 weeks of, or 6 practices, I think, total for him so far in this offseason, to be out there besides the rookie minicamp, to be out there and showing what he can do. It seems pretty clear this club wants to give him every chance to lock up that corner spot opposite Joe Haden.
Yeah, and I think, you know, they want to challenge him. And, you know, talking to Brian Sipe about him, he said, you know, every time we'd go and practice, I keep telling those quarterbacks, quit throwing the out at Leon McFadden. He says he's going to jump it every time. And, you know, you see him in practice, and he's got that swagger. If you watch the way he handles himself, he you know, he's got one of those defensive backs with, you know, a little bit of a confidence attitude, which is good to have.
It really is, and I think he knows it too. Think about this. Joe Haden's the other corner on this team. He knows what Joe Haden's all about. If he's going to make a, you know, put a blip on the radar of the Browns and of the NFL, he's got to show right away that he's just not occupying space here, that he's got to make some plays. He's got the whole rap of being a little shorter than people would prefer him to be. People were not happy that this team didn't take a D. Milner. They took him instead in the third round and not taking Milner in the first round. So I think all those elements can build up a nice big chip on his shoulder.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, not only the chip, and he knows if you got a good cornerback on the other side, you're going to see all the action on your side.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the way he handles himself, you know, I think he's a guy with great anticipation. And, you know, that's something I don't think sometimes you can teach. You know, it's some people get it and some people don't. And if you get it, then it can make up maybe for that lack of speed.
And I think the job, it's been, you pay attention to a lot of different things in this, in these practices, the detailed coaching work. We talked on this show yesterday with Jim Donovan about North Turner and all that he does to kind of emphasize things, and you know he'll raise his voice. He was pretty animated in what he did. On the defensive side, you certainly notice Ray Horton all the time. He's an ever-present kind of guy. But I think the secondary work, the coaching of the secondary by Louis Chofi is impressive, that he's very detailed in all the things he's bringing to it. And I think it's showing in those players, not just the corners, but the safeties as well. He's got a lot of different techniques. He's got a lot of hand-eye coordination things with tennis balls and all that. So he really wants these guys to be sharp thinkers out there.
Well, and not only sharp thinkers, I think the fact that, you know, you're getting Hayden and Ward going into their fourth year or whatever, and now all of a sudden this is where the light, you know, all of a sudden, you know, you're just not the first-round pick. You're just not the second-round pick. Hey, you're a leader in that secondary. Yeah, you can act like you're a leader, but now you bring in a young cornerback and you draft him, he's going to be watching everything Joe Hayden does. And if Joe matures, and I think he has, all of a sudden, you know you've got something special there, because you're going to have a bunch of young guys that are going to play together for a long period of time.
You can answer this question from more than the perspective of somebody in the media because you're an alumni of this football team. The Browns bring back Jim Brown to the organization, and one thought occurred to me is that guys like yourself and other former players, other former Browns who are around the area and spend time around the team in various capacities, have to kind of look at this, I would think, in the good way of, hey, if the most iconic player in the history of this organization was on the outside, which he was for 2+ years, that couldn't have felt good for the overall of the former players on this team. I would think now that there's been a bridge there of that gap, it's probably generally a good thing for you guys.
Yeah, well, yes and no. I think, you know, one thing that Mark Schieffelbein did when he was here was he got the alumni more involved. You know, they did some golf tournaments. They had the Legends Weekend and stuff like that. So in a lot of ways, they had, you know, brought the alumni back in. But, you know, Jim Brown is Jim Brown. I mean, he, you know, here's the greatest running back of all time. And, you know, some of these guys, I'm sure their granddads are telling them who Jim Brown was.
Right, the player.
But
yeah.
But with that said, you know, I think it's important for these guys to know a little bit about the history of this, you know, football team. And, yeah, there's been a bigger separation. But, you know, I remember when I meeting Otto Graham, you know, and Dante Lavelli, Marion Motley. I mean, these are guys you want to meet. And after I retired, one of the first things when we were doing a broadcast down in Cincinnati was I walked down to the end zone to introduce myself to Paul Brown because I wanted to meet Paul Brown.
Right.
So, you know, I think, yeah, you know, sometimes when players make more money, I think they forget about what was there before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the presence of Jim Brown kind of tells you there was something here before you.
Yeah. Yeah, and respect that. Yeah. No, it's a good thing.
Well, and that's something Jim, I think, talks about is respect. And,
definitely.
And, you know, that's a big thing, you know, with him. And, you know, he'll challenge you. You know, the first time I did a radio interview with him, he came back with a question. I'm going, oh, this is no fluff interview, is it? And you know, that's the way Jim is. You play golf with him, you know, and if Jim loses, you know, they always used to talk about how slow he got up after he got tackled. Wait till he goes to his wallet to pay you.
Doug Deacon, that was good stuff. Doug Deacon, thank you. And he is Doug Deacon from the Browns Radio Network. He joins us on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And we've got more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.